Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence, for your glory, for the manifestation of who you are in our midst. Lord, we trust that you help us to divide your word accurately, plain, with clarity, that our understanding may be increased. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen. You may be seated. It always been God's mode of operation to get himself or to bring himself into the earth realm. Because when the fall of Adam, God couldn't come in this earth atmosphere because Adam violated a very sacred law of God and he got into disobedience. And therefore, it relinquished his fellowship with man. It was broken. It was severed. But God always had to get into the earth realm to make things happen. Always did. And I'm going to look in the fourth chapter of Exodus where God had to get into the earth realm. He heard the cry of the children of Israel while they were in bondage in Egypt. And he found a man on the backside of a mountain, Moses. And God gave the call to Moses because he wanted to do some things in the earth realm. But God had to find his man to do what he needed to do in the earth realm. Now, I want you to look in the fourth chapter of Exodus, and we're going to see some things that helped me when I was in my study, because we're going to be talking about understanding God's purpose for authority. God doesn't do anything for naught. God always has reasons and purposes for everything he does, especially when he has to deal with us here on earth. And I'm so glad for the apostolic. I'm so happy that our apostle teaching us the way we should go. And he ain't holding nothing back from us. Everything God tell him, he tell us. I like that. Everything God tell him, he tell us. He keep no secret from God, from us. And that's wonderful to me. And I know it's wonderful to you. But looking at fourth chapter of Exodus, when God began to talk to Moses in that 10th verse, Exodus 4:10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hereto, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now here Moses is being called by God and this is a good excuse not to do what God said do. I'm not eloquent. In other words, I can't dot all my I's and cross all my T's when it comes to the English language. And I wish you would find somebody more eloquent than I am. Look at the 11th verse says, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who make it the dumb or deaf or seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, I did a little study in the New Living Translation, and I like what it says when it came down to the part about Moses making an excuse. And here how God corrected him. This is so good how God corrected Moses. He says, this is 12 verse. He said, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. Now, I want you to know those words. Moses making an excuse why he's not eloquent and he's slow his speech and he probably wasn't comfortable before people. Now, God said, I will be with you as you speak. And I'm going to tell you what to say. Now, that don't sound like it's that deep. But when God talked to us, God don't talk to us deep. God talked to us where we can understand. So Moses making excuses. Moses really was saying, I wish you would find somebody else to do what you want me to do. So God, in turn, if you read the rest of the chapter, God, in turn, began to tell Moses about his brother Aaron, because Aaron had the ability to, you know, to take words and put them into complete sentences and use all the verb and adverb and adjectives. And so my point is this, that God would have liked to speak directly to Moses. God would have liked to not use Aaron. That wasn't his first choice, to use Aaron, although he did. But God wanted to get Moses person. You understand what I'm saying? He wanted to get the Moses person, Moses being, Moses himself, to do what he wanted to do so he can come in the earth rim to Moses himself. But he had to use a secondary effort with Aaron, but the concern was to get Moses. That's all right if you use little help. I want Moses. Moses, I want you. I don't want nobody else. I guess you get all the help you need. That's fine with me, but I need your person. I say that to say this. You know, God will run to and fro to find someone that he can use and somebody that's going to obey him and somebody that's going to listen to him and somebody that's going to do exactly what he said, exactly the way he said do it. I say that to say this. I remember an apostle, he rehearsed about 2 weeks ago, his conversion, how his brother invited him to church. And he said, oh, man, I'm getting ready to go out. I almost remember it like the day he told it. And so he ended up going to church, and then he said, I'll be glad when he get through preaching so I can get out of here and go get dressed and go out tonight. But the man preached John 3:16. And lo and behold, our apostle got born again. And in that conversion, God knew way ahead of time. Before I formed thee in thy womb, God said, I call thee. God knew that he was going to find a man in Apostle Thompson after his heart. Now, let me read this first, and then you can see exactly what I'm saying here. Because God, don't think God don't know your infirmities. God knew all Moses' infirmities. God knew all Moses' weakness. God knew. He said, I created you. I knew you're dumb with slow speech. I created you. I knew you're not eloquent. That's why I call you. Because you're not eloquent and because you're slow of speech. I want to use your infirmities. Don't that sound like apostle preaching? I'm telling you, God will take your infirmities and God will use it for his glory. Because with your infirmities, you have thrown off all dependency on you. And all your dependency is upon God to get the word out. You're not going to add to or you're not going to take it away. You're going to say it just like God said. If God said it raw, you're going to say it raw. That's why I like what Apostle. God, he said, this might not make sense what I'm about to say, but that's what he heard God say. And he going to say what God say. That's what I love about it. And it ministered to the masses. It ministered to the masses. Now, watch this now. So look at this. Look at this 11th verse again. And the Lord said unto him, who had made man's mouth? Did not make your mouth? Or who maketh the dumb? Or who maketh the deaf? Or the seeing? Or the blind? Have I not the Lord? Not the Lord say he making sickness and making people disease. He's talking about infirmities here. He's talking about weaknesses here. And he's saying, I understand the human being have weaknesses and shortcomings, but I can use them all. Now, God holds challenge with Moses. I got to get a man into the earth realm to do exactly what I need him to do because that's a certain thing I need to get accomplished. And the thing I need to get accomplished here was I got these children in Israel, my Israelites in Egypt bonded, and I hear their cry come before me every day. I got to do something about it. Now I got to find a person seeing to do that. I got to have somebody of a certain character, a certain makeup, certain abilities, and certain inabilities to go in and do exactly what I say to do, and not be afraid, and bold enough to face them. But most of all, to trust me. You know, when you can't trust yourself, you better trust God. So, another example of God getting to the river, when God began to knew it was time to send his son Jesus in here. He came to the virgin birth. And when Jesus was born, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stop him at the beginning of his childhood because God was beginning to bring something great into the earth realm, and God had to bring a man into the earth realm to get his will accomplished. And God had to go to various things to do so. He had to go to various people. He had to use a Mary. He had to use a Joseph. He had to use the virgin birth. He had to use a lot of things to get Jesus here. But my point was that the whole point is when I begin to study this thing on authority, the apostolic opened everything up. I find out what authority is in a more clearer definition. You see, authority is not just being in control. You know, sometimes people in authority on the job, they say, I'm the boss, and you know, and when I see a jump, you say, hi, but that's not what authority is. Authority is someone that can make things happen. Now, let's back up. Let me back up a little bit, and we're gonna go over the beginning of what our understanding of authority should be. Go to Romans 13 with me. Romans 13 explains what I call the foundation of authority. It tells us what it is and where it came from and what God expects to be the results of it. Romans 13, we're going to begin at verse 1. And look what that first verse says. He says, let every soul, underline every soul, be subject unto the higher power. Another translation or a better translation for this power right here would be a higher authorities. Because we're going to find out power means one thing, and authority is translated as something else here. So it can be a little blind here if you use the word power. For there is no power or no authority but of God. The powers that be are ordained of who? Now, the first thing we need to understand that all power comes from God. Or let's put it this way, all authority that exists in the earth comes from God. There's no power. Without God, there's no authority. So if it comes from God, then everything else that comes into this earth realm has to be what we call a delegation of that authority. God delegated authority to men. All right? Now, there are two types of authority. There's civil authorities, and there's spiritual authority. Now, right in the beginning of these two verses, he's talking about civil authority because he used the word every soul. Every soul not going to submit to spiritual authority because every soul is not born again. They can't understand spiritual authority. But every soul can submit to that red light and to that policeman and to that badge. So every soul be subject unto authorities. Can you see that? Yes. Now watch this now. This is just the basis of authority here. The second verse says, so whosoever therefore resisted. Everybody say resisted. Resist. Now resisted is one word, and the kinship of resisted or resisting is the word rebellion. But too many people don't like the word rebellion. Because the first thing you say is, I'm not rebellious. The thing to be rebellious, you got to be some outlandish, some just old crook, or some person that just don't obey anybody. But rebellion goes in different levels of rebellion. Some rebellion you can see, and some rebellion you can't see. Some of it is hidden in the heart. And only God can dig it up. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal real certain rebellion, certain anti you. You might not say it, but anti, you're anti. I don't know why you want to do that. I can't see it. I can't see it on your face sometimes, but God can see it in your heart. And that's where the devil robbed people with rebellion. So let me give you a good definition of rebellion just for your notes' sake. It's open resistance to an established government or rule. Open resistance. Now, open resistance don't have to be obvious all the time. You see, so because we talk about spiritual authority, open resistance can be inwardly openly resistant. See, because we think that's something we can see, you know, and oh, she rebels, or he rebellious, or that child rebellious. But you don't always have to see it. You see it? Because that's an undermining factor here. And Satan used this trick. See, he's the author of rebellion. If you ever get a chance, read Isaiah 14, around 12, he kept using the word, I will, I will, I will, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High God, he says. You see, so another definition of rebellion would be self-will, a self-will person. What is a self-will person? This is what I will, and I don't want what you will. I want to do what I want, when I want, and how I want. I come when I want, and I go when I want to go. I ain't listening to nobody but me and God. Forget about all this other stuff, talking about spiritual authority and stuff. I ain't got time for none of that foolishness. I believe we made that up. You're making all that stuff up to make us do what you want us to do. No, but God said, we're going to see how God set these certain things in order. There always have to be government. Everything has government. Everything has a governor on it. If in some form or some fashion, there's always something that can slow us down, warn us, or stop us. Anybody know anything about little engines, small engines? They got to put a governor on that thing because you'll run that thing wide open, and guess what will happen without a governor? It'll blow plumb apart. You'll destroy it. Just like human beings, we as Christians, if God didn't have a governor or government or apostle watching over, we'll blow ourselves apart spiritually. We'll be a mess looking to happen. And you won't blame it on God. But rebellion is anti, self-will. You see it? You know, you get parents, my child not rebellious. They just don't want to listen. you know why? Because rebellion put him in another category, you see? And it makes him look like a rambunctious child. A child that like this little boy on this Christmas show. I can't think of the name of it. And they left him home alone. It won't look like a Home Alone type fellow, just mischievous. No. Rebellion is just not being governed. I remember a long time ago. See, the teaching of submission had to be taught at the beginning, at the prime, at the youth, and even the babyhood stage. You know, I remember when my son was about 6 months old, and I use this all the time here. He wasn't able to walk yet, but we had a little coffee table in the living room, and he was standing around it, and we had all kind of little whatnots, you know, little whatnots on the table, little ceramic stuff, and he would go to grab it, and we would just move it. And you go grab this, we move that. And my mother-in-law was sitting at a dining room table, and I thought she was trying to run my house. She said, don't move another thing over that counter here. She said, slap his little hand. I said, I ain't slapping my little six-month-old boy hand. You trying to be the boss of our house? No, I didn't tell her that because I was kind of scared of her. But I respected her. But my point is this, that what she was doing was creating the first level of submission for him, or the first level of obedience, at an early age. And when I slap it, we use the word, That's not good English, but they knew what you were saying. I mean, no, don't do that. And then he go to touch it, we slap his hand again. And then afterwards, we didn't have to slap his hand no more. We said, no. And he draw his hand back. I said, whoa, I see this. You know, and then he would go around the stove and want to reach to touch it. We say, no. And he'd draw his hand back. I said, that's the first level of obedience, first lesson of obedience. You have to set rules because rules reveal rebellion. When a child can't obey rules, it's a good sign that they have a seed that needs to be destroyed in them. Parents don't like to make correction when they need to make correction because sometimes you let it go too far and it's almost too late to make these things. My dad once was, him and I was sitting on the porch. I thought he was wise because he was just a smart man. He was wise because he got old and he saw so many things. But my dad was a very observant. And him and I was sitting on the back porch step, and he said, see that little tree out there? He said, I got a rod right next to it, and I got it tied up with a little string. He said, that's a correcting rod there. He said, now I can make that tree grow any way it wants to grow, any way I want it to grow. He said, but if people let the tree get too big, he said, I can't bend it. It already took form and shape of the way it should go. And so his point was, and I said, hey, another way of saying correct it while it's young, while the branches are tender, while you can mold it to the way you want it to go, and then it's gonna grow up in obedience. You can grow up in submission. Because you help direct it and mold it. And so I understood that. All right? So that word rebellion is not all bad, it's an indicator. Rules broken are indicators that something needs to be corrected. You have to have rules. You know, that's why apostles give us rules, and we need to pray. All leaders need to pray. And that's not so difficult. It disciplines us where God can use us and make us sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost all I can. I don't know about you. So you see this resisting? Whosoever therefore resisted the authority, resisted the ordinance of God. You say, no, I thought I was just resisting the ordinance. I thought I was just resisting the person. I thought I was just resisting the apostle. I thought I was just resisting the way he wanted to do things. No, you're resisting the ordinance of God. Because all authority comes from God, and every authority under God is a delegation of that. But when you come against delegated authority, you need to write this down. When you come against delegated authority, you're coming against God himself. Now that don't seem like it, like I'm disobeying God when I disobey my man of God. Yeah, he's representing. He's representing God. Now, watch this now. Watch. Go back to Exodus, if you may. And I want you to see something that God told Moses here. When Moses told his brother Aaron, when Moses told God that I need some help here, and God said, let Aaron be your mouthpiece. Exodus 4. And look what he says. The 15th verse. And thou shalt speak unto him. Thou shalt speak unto who? Thou shalt speak unto Aaron. And put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth, Moses, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you should do. Now, let me read this out of this Living translation. Moses again pleaded, please send anyone else. But hear what God said. 14th verse, he said, you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. God saying, you're going to stand in the place of me for him. And you're going to tell him what to do or what to say that I say. You're going to act like me, and you're going to act like I want to talk to you at first. The way I want to talk to you directly, I want you to be me and you talk to him. I'm going to take you, you're going to take my place of what I'm supposed to tell you. Now, I'm going to tell you and you tell him. So my point is God wanted to directly use Moses at the beginning. But Moses pleaded by his infirmities and didn't trust his infirmities to carry on God's will. But God said, I don't care nothing about your infirmities. You just do what I tell you to do because I created you. I know how to make this thing work. I know how to fill in the blank for you. I know how to fill in all the gaps. Just obey me, and I'm going to do exactly what I need you to do. When you're following God, God almost make your wrong right. I don't know if I'm, because if your intent is right, God has made the whole law right. Yes, God will do that for you. You might not rear your children all the way you want them to go all the way. But you know, God will make them come out right somehow, some way, through his wisdom and through his miraculous power. Don't give up on your children. God knew how to make crooked roads straight. That's when your heart made perfect before God. Our apostle's heart is made perfect before God. I drive up sometime and forget where I am. You know, I look at this place, I say, Lord, you couldn't do this without our apostle. There are churches all over this county, this parish. But I don't see this. What's the difference, Lord? You find a man after your own heart. That's the difference. You find a man that's willing to obey you. That's the difference. Am I preaching about the apostle? Yes, I am. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the apostle. You wouldn't know what you know. You wouldn't be who you are. I'm about to say this. You wouldn't have what you have. You wouldn't even think the way you think. You wouldn't even see things the way you see things. I'm telling you, I give glory to God, but I give credit to where credit is due. My life wouldn't be what it is now. I couldn't go home with the joy and the peace. My house wouldn't be my safe haven. Some people don't want to go home, but I can hardly wait to get home because I know I got something that's waiting for me there, something that's been molded and shaped. I'm telling you. Am I preaching about the apostle? Yes, I am. Are you preaching about him? Yes, I am. But a man with God's authority in him, not an ordinary man. You may be seated. But you want to know something? The whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. God always knew what he was going to do. God had to get the right people in alignment. You know, Pastor was talking about alignment. I almost jump out of my seat because I understand alignment. I understand alignment because I come out of the chemical plants and we did the maintenance and the mechanic work. And so we had to get two components. And one was the driver. One was the driving end, the motor. And the other one was the equipment that we was to run. And our job was to make the two one. We had to couple the two together to make them run as one. But you just couldn't couple together. You just can't couple people together and expect them to run. No, it had to be in perfect alignment. And we started off in old school. Do you mind if I say this? I was gonna say it anyway, but. But look, we had to take the two components. You got the A component and B component. I'm giving you a little class 101 on mechanics. And in the old school, we used to have used what they call a dial indicator. You'll put one on one shaft and the other end is a little meter. And as you turn around, it'll tell you when you get to zero tolerance all the way. We were shooting for zero tolerance, but the old school stuff wouldn't let you get that close. Because the closer you are, the less vibration you get. The closer you are spiritual line, the less vibration you'll give apostle. No vibration is rumbling and tumbling and I just want to do what I want to do. That's misalignment, we call that. And any misalignment, the equipment would fail prematurely. So if you're not aligned properly, somewhere down the line, you think you're hearing, but you're going to fail prematurely because I want to do what I want to do. This class 101, all right? Don't go try and make no alignment on the motor. But what happened was we went to another level. We did what we call computer alignment. And we use a laser. See, laser shoot the straightest line you can get. That's almost what I learned in geometry. That's the only thing I learned. Short distance between two points was a straight line. After that, I couldn't fail. But my point is this, with the laser alignment, we were able to do zero tolerance. Zero tolerance means you got perfect alignment here. These two equipment don't see two separate equipment. All they see was one. So in the spirit realm, when there's perfect alignment between our apostle and us as a congregation, all God sees is one. You see, I understand that scripture. As one man. See, God don't want to see A and B. God want to see one. When the people are tied into the leader and the leader is tied into the people, you're talking about a smooth transition. Not only smooth, but let me tell you what else. That thing run a long time. It runs almost forever. Why? Because there's perfect alignment. There's no error. You see it? There's no error. You understand what I'm saying? So what God is shooting for in the alignment, that we get totally aligned with the vision, what apostle is doing here, understand government, understand the apostolic, and understand what God is trying. God is trying to take us somewhere, but he got to get into this earth realm, and he got to get the people aligned with the leader, with the apostle. You can't fail. And I'm going to tell you another secret about this alignment. Wherever the motor got, the equipment got. Because they're one. You see it? So, this oneness is a powerful thing. God never intended for us to serve independently. You serve independently, and you're going to err all night long. Nobody to judge, nobody to check you, nobody to jerk the slack out of you. Correction is good. I don't know if y'all corrected when y'all were young. But when I was young, we got, my brother Donald and I, we got some correction. Matter of fact, they had to go tell them, we had to go break the switch. And don't come back with a little small switch. We had to break a switch that can bend when you hit it. Like the little whip, you had a little whipping action. But correction was for our good. Correction put us into remembrance. Remember the what? I ain't gonna do that no more because I know what I got over here. It remind you what you're supposed to be doing. It puts you back. It puts you back in your rightful place. And I'm getting on this subject again. And the deal with the children today, they have no correction. They got to be corrected. I don't whip my children. I just talk right. We'll see how they end up. Spare the rod. Some people don't believe in whipping. I come from another generation. They whipped us. Yeah. It didn't kill us. We limped for a little while, but we didn't kill us. Amen. Now, watch this now. Watch. Now, let's look at the definition of submission here now. Now, watch this. Now, keep in thought what I'm saying about this alignment with the apostle and with us as a yielding congregation. The act of accepting the authority or control of someone else. You see, authority, leadership, there's no authority without submission. So, submission is an act of accepting that authority and yielding to its control. Sometimes people don't like the word control because they think control is taking over. It's not taking over. You see? Now, I want you to see this before I go any further, because this is going to help you to understand what I just said. Authority. Here's the definition of authority. The power of right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. Now, that word of force obedience sometimes go along with what people think is control. But watch what enforce obedience really is. You see, he has the right to enforce obedience. Not control, enforce obedience. Now, let me explain what a forced obedience mean. It's compelled observance. Observance of being compelled by the word of God. And here's a good definition is, to make sure the people do what is requested or what is required. That's enforced. That's enforced. Obedience. Now, here's an example of enforced obedience. One example of enforced obedience is when an apostle does things to make sure we get it. Like, before he ministered, he does the seals. And he say, let's seal this. And you might look at it like just making confession, but you know, something that if he doesn't do, we might not get it. So he used that as an enforcer. When I say certain things with my mouth, I'm putting certain things in me that I might not get unless I do certain things. So he's enforcing some obedience in us through these seals that he's given us, and we're making them a part of us. Because when you pray about certain things, we find out that the Holy Ghost sealed it into our spirit. So that's the type of enforcement. We're not talking about control. We're talking about having to do certain things so we won't miss certain things. Like right now, we text our prayer time. Somebody say, well, that's control. No, that's something that God enabling us to do to get us in line, in alignment with what he's doing, and so it can become a part of us. Because some things, if I don't get help with, I'm not going to do it. Some things, if I don't have the right strong motivation, I might start on it for a little while, and then my human ways will say, oh, that's enough, I'm tired. How many try to read the Bible through in a year, and 3 months down the road, you just quit? Because something pulled you off or something. But this is enforced obedience. Now, I'm on a daily schedule. Not that I'm under constraint, but I love it now. I find out that I love this thing. Man, and I can't wait to read the chapters in the morning because I'm going to see what the Lord going to say to me today. Because I know he's going to say something for my day. And then it not works. Some people make it work. But it's a joy. I look forward to doing this. And I got my family does it with us, and I look forward to see what they got out of the scriptures. Is that control? No. But some things been enforced in me. And it got in me, it get in me that it won't get no other way unless I got apostolic working with me. Somebody that can see what I can't see. Somebody that can hear what I can't hear from God. Somebody that can get in places with God that I can't get to. And tell me some secrets that he get and directions that he gets that I can't get by myself. See, the problem is sometimes people think they can get it all by themselves. If you can get it all by yourself, you'll be where you already want to be. But we're not. God had to send a pioneer, somebody that been where we're trying to go, and so he can tell us step by step how to get there. I'm on my way. Yes, I'm on my way. On my way what? On my way to where God want me to be. I'm telling you what I know. All right. So that's enforced obedience. Compel observance. You see it? He's compelling us. Remember scripture say, compel them to come? Sometimes God's got to compel us to do certain things. Because you know we're not going to do it automatically. Some people not going to pray every day. Some people ain't going to read the Bible every day. Not on their own. But you got to have good leadership. He'll help you do that. Now, why this now? So, back to authority now. Whenever one comes against God's delegated authority, they come against God himself. And the reason God does put authority in the earth realm is for this simple fact. God putting himself in man. God putting himself in man, watch this now, to manifest his will upon the earth. Now that's what authority really is. God putting himself in man to manifest his will upon the earth. That's a simple fact. And whenever you come against a delegation of authority, you come against God because God has himself in man.
Right. Good.
You got to have a reverence for authority.
Yeah.
Fear, I'm not talking about human fear. We're talking about godly fear,
yeah.
Godly reverence.
Right.
Now, look, when I was putting my mic on this morning, on the mic, they got apostle written. I said, oh, Lord. I'm thinking to put on an apostle mic. It just hit me. I said, oh, Lord. you know, like the scripture said, his shoes, I'm not worthy. I feel like, I said, Lord, I'm not worthy to put this mic on. Because it's apostle's mic. And that's how much reverential fear I have for him. That man, look, I'm not even count myself worthy. I mean, you got to have that kind of thinking. If you don't, I don't know who you think you are. I'm scared. Now, I'm not going to get into a whole lot of rebellion scriptures, but there are a lot. But one particular come in mind, and everybody quite aware of this one. You see, because it's not my aim to try to put it out like, God going to get you. If you do this, God going to get you. No, that's back to law.
Right.
No, you got to come to a place where I don't want to do this because of conscience sake.
Right.
I don't want to do this because I love God.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this because I don't want to shame my master.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this because I know that I can't function in error. Now, there's a scripture over in Romans 13. We left Romans 13 to go back to the book of Exodus, but I need to show you something along the line of what we're talking about, conscience. I heard apostle preaching about conscience Friday night a little bit, about conscience. Now, how many wives? No, I ain't gonna ask that question. Romans 13. Now, watch this now. This is another level of submission here. He goes on to talk about, let's look at that third verse, Romans 13:3. For rules are not a terror to good works. You see it? But to the evil, would thou then not be afraid of the authority or power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of it. He's talking about civil authority here. For he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bear not the sword in vain. He is the what? Minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now here's the fifth verse I've been trying to get to. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject or in submission, not only for wrath, and what you're saying is not only for the consequences of it, but also for conscience sake. See, you want to get to a place where your spirit is so in tune to the Holy Spirit that your conscience will not let you do certain things. That still small voice won't let you go there. Certain things you just can't even think. You don't permit yourself to even think certain ways anymore. Why? Because it has been embroidered into you, into your spirit. It's been weaved into your spirit. And it become a way of life for you. It's not a constraint to submit. It's not hard to submit. Which way you want to go? That's all I need to know, Apostle. This is not hard for me. What time you want me to come? What time do the service start? How long are you going to go? It's not a works. It's not constraint. But you're becoming grafted into vision. You're becoming grafted to the work of God. It becomes so much of a part of you. Remember this oneness alignment we're talking about? If you're not coupled in that alignment, then you're not going. Here's what I need to go right here. Look, this point right here. How do I know? Let me back up. Whosoever has met authority deals purely with authority and not with man. Paul met authority on Damascus Road, right? Paul had authority from the high priest, so he did have some authority. But he met another authority, right? But here's my question. How do I know if I have met authority or not? Because Brother Nee said, when you met authority, you deal purely with the God in man and not the man. But if you have not met authority, you're gonna deal with man first. You're going to meet man first. And you shouldn't meet man first. You should meet God first. But my question is, how do I know if I met authority? It's a good question, huh? How do I know, am I submitted or not? How do I know where my heart is? Here's some questions you got to ask yourself. One way to know if you're a met authority is by the level of my submission to delegated authority. If I have trouble submitting to delegated authority, if I do, I have not yet met the true authority of God. You see it? Do I have trouble? Do I get a little scratching when I'm asked to do something? Do I have some funny feeling when apostles say certain things that just don't meet my criteria or where things should go? That means you ain't met authority yet, or fully met authority. Now, here's a good point. Here's a good point. You see, what I found out over the years and from following the apostle, that he has a certain way that he does things. And a lot of time, we'll not, if you're not connected properly, it might sound offensive sometimes. But he got to get certain things out in the earth realm, and he going to say what he got to say and do what he got to do. Now, my point is this now. Obedience is action. In other words, obedience requires a lot of times some action behind it. I can see obedience. You know, he says certain things, and let's for instance, we got a meeting coming up. So, oh, Lord, I knew he was going to go down. We got the meeting coming up, and the apostle said, I want all the world like Christian and family to be there. And sometimes people do have good, legitimate excuses. And that's understandable. But he said, I want the whole family to be there. And some are come. That's obedience. But submission takes it to another level. You can be obedient in action, but rebellious at heart. I'm here, and it stopped right there. I'm here, look, I'm here, and your heart is far from it. And I'm going to say this now, because spiritual things are very... You can observe spiritual things if you are accustomed to understanding spiritual things, all right? Now, you can tell when people are in one accord. You can tell when you pray for somebody, you can almost tell when they're not releasing their faith. Because a lot of times, feel like you're coming right back. Your prayer coming right back to you. And so spiritual thing, you can sense something. So my point is, and when you got a congregation of people and some want to be here and others just here, you can feel that. You can feel that they're here bodily, But spiritually, it's like there's no reception, no continuity. So what happens is it's like it's almost coming back to you. I don't know if it makes sense. And so what happens is that a lot of time, if you're not here wholeheartedly, are you with me? If you're not here wholeheartedly, then the anointing of God can't really penetrate and do everything he needs to do. You know, because people have to learn to lay down their own agenda. My will, that brings you back to self-will. My will, what I want to do, and how I want to do it, and when I want to do it. This is my availability, Lord. If you can work outside of this, my schedule, me and you, A-okay. And a lot of times, some people don't want to change their agenda to fit God's agenda. But it wants God to bless them anyhow. And God just don't work like that. It's whole hog or none. Yeah. You got to give your whole self. You got to give your whole self. And so the best way I can explain this thing a lot of time is that it's mechanically. You got to understand this thing mechanically. That there's an inlet and there's an outlet. Everything has an outlet and everything has an inlet, all right? Inlet is what I receive. When I'm sitting there, I can receive. It's going in me. Coming out the outlet, going into me. You see? And that's what a pastor does. He's an outlet. He prays hours and hours and hours, study hours and hours and hours to become an outlet for God. And our job is to become an inlet for him. All of our hearts open, our spirit open to do what? To receive. Now, here's my mechanical aspect of it. Mechanical aspect is I had to change a hot water heater once, all right, at a pastor's house, in the attic, over the entire living room, underneath, and you messing with the hot water. I had to change the element, I'm sorry. And so what happened was, to make a long story short, I said, what I'm going to do, I got to pull the element out. I couldn't drain it for some reason, it wouldn't drain. So I had to pull the element out. I said, I'm going to be real quick. I'm going to pull one out and push one in right quick before I flood the whole roof and the whole attic and everything, and the whole house be full of water. But, I mean, this just a good thing. It's a good thing. And this was the bottom one. You see it? But when I pull it out, real, and I'm ready, I got everything ready. When I pull it out, and I look, nothing came out. It like water come out, went back in. And I said, whoa, this is easy. I stuck it in, and I began to think. I said, the reason nothing came out, because nothing was open. If there was something open along that line, then it would create an outlet. Because it was vacuum. Yes. The vacuum had it. So what's my point? So give me the spiritual thing. If we don't open up, nothing can come out. If your heart is not open to what apostle is saying, a lot of time, nothing can come out like it should. Nothing can come. I'm going to give another example. And then I'm almost through. But I'm showing the importance of inlet and outlet when apostles ministering under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever open up a can of milk, pet milk or whatever, Carnation or Great Value, whatever. But look, here's the key to this thing. If you open one side of that can and try to get it out, guess what? That won't be a flow. There's no outlet. But you open another end up. See, that's what I'm saying. We got to come here prepared to receive. If we don't open up, God can't get what he wants out of our posture like it should go. I'm trying to make it as plain and simple as I can. So our job is to become what? Inlets, so he can become an outlet. I want to be able to receive. I want to be open to hear, and not only hear, but understand what the Spirit of God is saying to me. So back to the point, I can be obedience in action, but rebellious at heart. Why? Because I got my self-will agenda set up. I got my will. Sometimes people think about, some people think about the game coming on at 3:30 today. Well, what I'm saying is, you already preset your agenda, and it already then mess with your reception. You see it? So God will like to do more than he's doing in our life. Paul said, I die daily. So I got to give up my own will, my own wants when I come before God. And then God will give up his will for you and his wants to you. There's some wants and will that God has for you we'll never receive because of our will and wants. Our self-will, doing what we want to do when we want to do it, not putting first thing first, not putting God in a proper place, not understanding when an apostle set up a meeting, he don't just set up a meeting because it feels like it's a good thing to do. The Spirit of God tell him what to do. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe every time I walk into this sanctuary, God got something for me, particularly. I don't know about my neighbor, but I'm going to get something, particularly. You see it? And so I'm working on that more. Amen? I'm going to say this, then I'm closing. I'm going to just read these things just for you, for your own interest. God has purpose to manifest authority to the world through the church and a manifestation of authority through government. That's when God gave the fivefold ministry. He gave the fivefold ministry so the fivefold ministry can be manifested in the earth. God can come into the earth through the fivefold ministry. God uses his utmost power to maintain his authority. Therefore, his authority is the hardest thing to come up against. You don't want to touch God's anointed. David says, God said, touch my anointed and do my prophet no harm. We who are so self-righteous and yet so blind need once in our life to encounter God's authority so that we may be broken into submission and so begin to learn obedience to the authority of God. For authority to be expressed, there must be subjection. If there is no subjection, self needs to be excluded. But according to one's self-life, subjection is not possible. The only possible when one lives in the Spirit is the highest expression of God's will. Amen. So, Father, we thank you right now that your word has gone forth, Lord. I pray that it went forth in the Spirit that, Lord, that you intended it to be. Let every heart be receptive to it, Lord, and let us understand exactly what you're doing here and our purpose for being here and why you called us here to this great ministry and why you gave us a great apostle to lead and guide over us. And, Lord, let us follow with our whole heart and our whole mind, our whole soul, our will, Lord, become your will. Let us become one with you, Lord. Let us make that alignment that you want us to make. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.